Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Mike Vaccara is the Washington Bureau Chief at News Nation. He's enjoying our wonderful city. Mike, how are you?
You know, I have to say, you know, while I have spent some time in Chicago in the past, the city is absolutely gleaming. It's beautiful, especially down here near the Magnificent Mile and the river and the bridges. And I did avail myself of the architecture tour as well. Really a joy.
Yeah, I'm glad you had a chance to do all of that. Speaking of enjoying the city, one of the political reporters here in town has tweeted the vice president nominee, that would be Tim Walz, starts his day in Chicago with a quick jog. WGN-TV captured him running in Hoka shoes, by the way. So there's just a quick look.
Wow, right up to date. Yeah, how about that?
That's what you call in-depth reporting here. What was so tell me about your evening. Where were you and what are some of the highlights or lowlights? What were your observations about yesterday?
Well, I, you know, it was a fascinating evening. First of all, not to whine because nobody cares about my problems. It took a while, not just for us to get into the venue, but for the delegates. And the only reason I mentioned that, there were very long lines at the security checkpoint.
I saw them.
And the only reason I mentioned that is because it started off as a relatively sparsely attended affair because there were many people in waiting to get into the hall. And for a moment there, I thought, wow, this isn't going to have the energy that I saw, for example, at the Republican convention up in Milwaukee last month. But having said that, that problem was quickly rectified, and there were some real stemwinders of speeches that were absolutely rapturously received in the hall, starting with, you know, AOC, the woman that conservatives love to hate, Congresswoman from New York City, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And she, you know, she really gave a full-throated endorsement from the left part of the party, the you know, the left wing of the party, for everything that has transpired in the last 6 weeks or so since President Biden dropped out. Full-throated endorsement of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, which was very well received in the hall. And then, of course, there was Hillary Clinton. And I think we spoke yesterday, John, about how there was going to have to be a tightrope, a balancing act that the former First Lady, Secretary of State, and Senator was going to have to walk between hitting, reminding people of the fact that she lost in 2016, giving rise to Trump and the MAGA movement, Donald Trump and the MAGA movement, and sort of endorsing and keeping that vibe, which is the word that everybody keeps using these days, just like Hoka shoes, I guess, that there is, you know, this surge in enthusiasm among Democrats, this joy, as they keep calling it, for Kamala Harris. And, you know, for the most part, at least in the hall, boy, she blew the roof off the place, you know, and she criticized her former opponent, Donald Trump, very harshly, but yet managed to transition into and segue into an endorsement of Kamala Harris that, you know, culminated with the whole glass ceiling metaphor and reaching up, and Kamala Harris is there on the other side of that ceiling.
Right.
And so that was well received. I thought President Biden's speech, and of course everybody's been talking about how it ran late past prime time on the East Coast, which is sort of like regional chauvinism, if you ask me, being here in the Midwest these days. But
yeah. Well, but I also thought that was relevant. I mean, I was clicking around amongst the networks last night, and some of them were saying a lot of people are going to miss it. A lot of people are going to miss it. They're going to go to bed after 10 o'clock.
You know, and Pennsylvania is on Eastern time. Michigan is on Eastern time. And so, you know, the swing states, perhaps it was past people's bedtime.
Was it the protesters that were I saw lines downtown that were a block and a half long of people waiting to get on buses, let alone maybe get past some of the commotion caused by protesters.
They started 17 minutes late. You know, it was unclear why. Maybe people were late getting in, but I don't think it was because of the protesters.
Mm.
I think it was just a level of sort of disorganization. And when the program runs late like that, runs over like that, and it got later and later and later, more and more behind schedule, you know, that had nothing to do with the protesters.
They cut James Taylor. James Taylor, I've got, you want to hear a little James Taylor? Here's, I think it's in the queue, Pete. Maybe it's not yet. I'll feature it later. But so there
I was in the hall when he was rehearsing. I was actually doing a live shot on News Nation, and he was rehearsing You Got a Friend. And, man, that was great.
It was lovely.
My age, James Taylor is an icon, yeah.
And yet they said, hey, JT, listen, it's not going to happen tonight. We'll try and get you in another day. Thanks for coming. So there he was. Just him, a guitar player, and a cello player on the stage.
Cello player. Yeah, that was cool.
It was positively lovely. Nobody was able to hear it. You can find it online. This from convention officials. Because of the raucous applause interrupting after each speaker, we skipped elements of our program to assure we could get to Barnes & Noble quickly.
Man, and that is some low-grade spin right there.
Really? And, you know, they could have told Raphael Warnock, hey, listen, awesome speech. Need four minutes less.
Exactly.
His speech was terrific, but it was long.
It did go on long, and everybody was, you know, waiting and looking at their watches. But, you know, having said that, when President Biden finally did take the stage, you know, you could tell there were rewrites in the speech. There was sort of just like the platform, you know, which was developed before he dropped out, kept mentioning the second term of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I think there were vestiges of the way they had planned this convention, in that there, you know, the democracy theme, the attack on Donald Trump over January 6th, you know, that works for them in 2022 in the midterm. Of course, abortion rights is a big issue for them. They keep coming back to. But, you know, I thought Joe Biden, there was, you know, he sort of had that angrier, edgier tone. And, you know, how he raises his voice occasionally in what was, I think, a relatively short speech as convention speeches go.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's going to have a chance for a farewell address at some point between now and January 20th, Inauguration Day. I don't think that was it. But certainly there was a lot of love shown in the hall for Joe Biden. That was the whole point, right? To minimize put all of what happened between June 27th, the debate, and July 21st, him dropping out, put all of that in the past, and all the pressure that he had from many of people that were there in the front row, including Nancy Pelosi, to drop out of the race. And sort of portray it all as a success, as him putting the country back on track after the Trump years. I mean, these are all Democratic themes that were hit last night.
I thought that his line, I love my job, but I love my country more, was the line he could have said 6 months ago, 2 years ago. Dude, everybody gets it. It's not your turn.
Yeah.
For a second term, it's time to hand the baton off to somebody else. And he finally said the line that people were praying, at least on the Democratic side of the ticket. I think Donald Trump would have been happy to go against Joe Biden, but I love my job, but I love my country.
If you want to look at it in a more Machiavellian way, I mean, it may work out for Democrats, this surprise, this sudden, because really this whirlwind has sort of obscured the fact that Kamala Harris's positions aren't entirely clear, let's say, and some of them have been switch since the 2019 campaign into the 2020 election. So she's managed to avoid that and ride this wave now for, what, 3 or 4 weeks through the convention, probably, and she'll be carrying that momentum on forward in the next few weeks.
The Obamas speak tonight. J.B. Pritzker speaks tonight. You will be there. Join us again tomorrow, Mike, and we'll catch up on more of what happened today. Sounds good?
I am looking forward to it, John. Thank you.